Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Hello, everyone, especially you, Mark. I hope that you have a fantastic day and are encouraged by God. This is the Bible Story Podcast,
place where we learn together to grow in a relationship with God. My name is John Drabert, and my other host with the most is... Wait. Who's Mark?
I don't know. I have no clue. I have no zero marks in my life.
Did you not just say a special hello to him?
I did. I mean, honestly, John, I'm just banking on the fact that Mark's a pretty common name and that we gotta have one listener called Mark. I don't know. I just hope to bring him some random joy today. You're just trying to be encouraging.
You are so ridiculous. Okay, then. We both hope Mark has a great day. And if your name is Mark, we're specifically talking to you.
We are. We do. We wish Mark the best. I am Brayden, by the way. John got distracted, as usual, and forgot to introduce me. How rude.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Brayden. Kind of. Maybe. Not, well, it's not really my fault. You threw me off with this whole Mark business.
Okay. John, you should know to expect the ridiculous from me.
I do. I so much do expect the ridiculousness out of you. Somehow, though, you still seem to surprise me.
Yeah, well.
Should we surprise our listeners with the story and the lesson for this week?
I mean, I do always appreciate a good segue, but if they've read the title at all or, you know, they already know. But I get your point, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. On to the story we go.
Okay.
Today, we are reading from 2 Kings Chapter 6, verses 8 to 23.
And this is a very odd story, is it not?
Yeah, it is indeed. I mean, as I read it, I almost got this image of like this old-timey black and white films, you know, like silent with no voices and the piano like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do in the background, like Charlie Chaplin, if anyone knows who Charlie Chaplin is. But it has this like humorous tone to it. It's fast-paced and, you know, they like kind of walk funny and, you know, sweet and to the point. Anyway, hold that image in your head.
All right.
Now, the key takeaway from today's story is a quick prayer, and it is, God, open our eyes.
Yeah, so in this book, 2 Kings, we're in the time after King David. Israel and King David specifically were told that a messianic king would come from the line of David. Hmm. And we know this to be Jesus. However, the kings in these chapters, Brayden, they were flawed. They were messed up, and we see Israel continue to struggle as a nation under the rule of these kings.
Right. And this chapter, specifically 2 Kings 6, 8, the nations of Israel and Syria are at war.
Mm-hmm.
So we also see some key ideas introduced in these chapters of 1 and 2 Kings, specifically this idea of prophets. Now, John, you and I did a whole series on the prophecies of the birth of Jesus this winter.
Yeah, we did. You're right. The prophets in the book of Kings were very important people, perhaps even more so than the kings themselves.
And why isn't it called the Book of Prophets?
I don't
know. Great question.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying.
Kings, it's... Okay. So perhaps even more so than the kings in themselves in these books. So they were the ones that upheld and held accountable the kings in their faithfulness to God.
Hmm.
They would hear from God and speak on his behalf in hopes of keeping the kings of Israel and Judah in line with the promises King David made and had made to him before them.
Right. I think that's a really important note is that the prophets weren't like, you know, these like kind of wizardy like people. They were ones that kind of heard from God and spoke on God's behalf.
Although Elisha does kind of act somewhat wizardy in this story.
True. We'll get to that point. Spoiler. Yeah. Okay. So in this story, we see the prophet of Elisha, who John just kind of introduced, giving word to the king of Israel about an attack in a specific part of land and that attack coming from Syria. Now, this then allows the Israelites to avoid the attack, but causes the king of Syria to accuse his own army of lying or having, you know, someone tell the other side what they were planning. He is upset.
He's so upset. You know, he thinks one of his men is a spy, and which is like, it's not a good thing to be suspected to be a spy or even caught spying
nope.
back then or for that matter, today.
Yeah.
People don't like other people going behind their backs, Brayden.
Never behind your back.
Oh, it's true. You're not. You're pretty upfront.
If I was a spy, I'd be much cooler.
I don't think you could get any cooler, Brayden. Just saying.
Aw, so nice. Okay, so exactly. So after the Syrian king, he just accuses his whole army, being spies or liars. The army then is quick to point out Elisha, the prophet of the king of Israel, who speaks of the things that he could not know about.
Right, like ambushes and private conversations that were happening elsewhere.
Exactly. And this, you know, you and I or the listeners can know that this was knowledge that Elisha was receiving from God.
Okay. So the king of Syria is steaming mad. He's furious.
Yeah.
And knows Elisha is somehow to blame for his failed attack. So what's next? What happens now?
Well, he pulls out all the stops.
The king. Okay.
The king of Syria, he is mad. He pulls out all the stops and he sends most, if not all of his army to Israel in the middle of the night.
Wow.
So the Syrian army surround the town and with all of these horsemen and these chariots, and they are ready to attack in the morning.
You know, that sounds like an epic movie. Like the battle is just like, battleground has just been drawn. Like it's just going to happen. And it's huge.
Yeah, you'd think.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where you're going with this old-timey silent film type of thing. I'm not even sure most of our listeners know who Charlie Chaplin is, but I think it's more like an action-packed movie.
Yeah, okay, you would. At this point, you would assume that. But right. However, we're not done yet.
Okay.
Okay, so just wait, John.
All right.
Patience is a virtue.
Not one that I have most days.
So it's about to take some odd turns, truthfully. So when Elisha and the Israelites awaken to this large crowd of chariots and horses outside of their town, I mean, fair enough, probably quite a shock.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised they didn't hear all that in the middle of the night. You know, the horses and everything. I absolutely would be terrified.
Yeah.
An army that size, Brayden, think about it. With that kind of surprise, could take over a whole city pretty easily. It happened a lot in history.
Yeah, it does happen a lot in history. I mean, whole nations crumbled because an army got the surprise on them. But despite many of the Israelites' army being afraid of the large army gathering outside of their town, Elisha says something pretty amazing and a little bit contrary to how I would be feeling. John, would you please read 2 Kings 6, verses 15 to 20?
Sure thing. All right, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God being Elisha, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army, hold on, I thought it was the Syrian army.
Yeah, some translations will switch those. It was okay. The same geographical location.
Okay. So Aramean, Syrian,
correct.
Same thing. Okay. As the Aramean, Syrian army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked.
A lot of opening and closing of eyes.
You were right. So then Elisha went out and told them, you have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria.
Okay, John, there's a lot going on. But did you catch that? So not just chariots, not just horses, but chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. How cool is that?
That's so cool. I mean, what an amazing image. An entire hillside full of God's protection.
Okay, so you raise a good point. Were these like real chariots of fire? Were things burning?
You know, I don't think everyone could see this army from God who appeared to be on fire.
Right.
But just the young man with Elijah and, of course, Elisha. So when Elisha prays for the man's eyes to be open and commands him to not be afraid, it is because Elisha knows the power of the God of Israel.
Right.
He knows the protection that God has given. His prayer opens the eyes of the other man to also see the things that he was able to see.
Hmm. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And then makes sense why he says, don't be afraid. Like, look at the army we have.
Right?
Right. So that passage also spoke about the Syrian army being blinded, again, after a prayer of Elisha. And then they wake up in the city of Samaria.
Right. Like, they do. Samaria being the capital.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Where the king of Israel.
Right.
So, like, right in the heart of, like, where they don't want to be unprepared.
Yeah.
So God blinded the men, allowed the Israelites to lead them to the town of Samaria. I mean, they were kind of prisoners of war at this point. You would think they were at war with Israel at this point.
Yeah.
So truthfully, prisoners of war, they don't make it out of wherever they are, the bad situation they're in. Well, if at all.
No. I mean, being a prisoner of war is never a good scenario and was not at this time either.
Mm-mm.
Okay. However, I told you it was going to get weird. And, well, I am a man of my words.
It didn't get weird enough?
No, it keeps going.
And maybe you just read the story, so you being a man of your words is pretty easy at this point?
Yeah, okay, well, I'm a man of these words.
All right, here we go.
Anyway, so the Israelites take the Syrian army to Samaria. And what do they do there? You know, they're taking prisoners of war. What do they usually do with prisoners of war? Well, they don't usually make it out alive. However, in this story, what do they do with those people? They treat them like besties, like best friends. The people were at war with the people who, you know, that showed up to kill them early in the morning. They were waiting outside to kill the Israeli army. And then they just go ahead and they have this huge feast with wine. They show them a good time. I don't get it.
It's so they don't attack them or they don't keep them as prisoners.
No, John, not even a little bit. Not even a little attack. Not even one small prisoner of war. I mean, they just send them off with full bellies. Man, I wish I had that kind of enemies. I'm not done ranting yet. Then the Syrian army returns home, and just like that, why would we want to be at war with these people? It's great over there. No more fighting. And so they just don't go back to war. Honestly, it's unreal. I mean, if all wars could end like this, full bellies and all. So, I mean, this is where the lesson really gets me in all of its strangeness.
Okay, take a breath. Okay. How does it get you?
Okay. Well, Elisha, I mean, he just speaks so confidently. You know, without fear, he prays for the young man beside him, his eyes to be open, and God does that. And then we see this amazing picture of God's wonder and strength and kingdom. I mean, chariots of fire. Come on, that's so cool.
Okay, so I think I'm getting where you're going, but where is the confusion?
Okay, so I think just in the idea of the wonder of the story, I mean, it sounds like fantasy. It sounds like a good book or an amazing movie, and yet Elisha seemingly has no reaction to it. It seems, I mean, normal to him. It's every day. And then this battle that could have ended up in this massive bloodbath and lots of people dying ends up with food around a table. I mean, it just is odd.
Yeah, you know, I get what you're saying here. So let me wrap this whole thing up in a nice little package with a pretty little bow.
Perfect.
For all of us. Okay?
I would appreciate that.
All right. Okay, here I go.
Okay, you got this.
Our eyes can be open to the wonder, the extravagance, and the elaborate nature of God. All right, so we see that here in Scripture, in this story.
Right.
But God's wonder and awe-inspiring nature don't solely come through grand moments. You know, like chariots of fire. His wonder can also come from unexpected endings, good in the midst of bad, or his response to our prayers. So all of these things that lead me to be in awe of his wonder, his greatness, it's incredible.
Yeah, that wraps it up really well. And this is where I get the silent film scenario from. I mean, imagine where when you're thinking of the chariots of fire filled the hills and this great battle ready to happen. And, you know, I can imagine like a drum beat and some bass music and you're getting ready. And then, like, I think the next cutscene would just be these guys, like, maybe leading some blind men across a desert and then all of a sudden eating dinner with them.
Mm.
You know, like, and just probably laughing, enjoying each other's company. And then that was it. That was the end of the war. And I think that's where it just, the humor in it is. I think you summed up my point so well and put a beautiful bow on it. So thank you.
You are welcome.
Okay, so speaking of wars ending, John, have you finished the growth tip jingle yet? Because honestly, if you haven't, you best be throwing me a feast.
I have. And you can be throwing me a feast, my friend.
Okay, I have an extra banana in my lunch, but I am so excited. Okay, hold on. If this is a joke again, John, I don't know if I can handle that emotionally.
You probably could, but I mean, okay. Before you end our friendship because of this jingle,
yeah, well,
let's get into it.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Here it goes.
Growth tip time.
Growth tip time.
Okay. What? John, that is musical and very ridiculous all at the same time. But I think we said earlier in this episode or another episode that really nothing if not ridiculous. So I'm right on board for that. You can color me impressed, John. I'm excited. There was no spoons in it, but I think it's gonna lead my excitement into the growth tip each and every week. I'm ready for it.
I will indeed color you impressed. I'm not sure what all of that means, but
I don't really either, but I think it's a phrase.
there you go. Anyways, on to our growth tip for this week.
Okay.
Remember, the growth tip is a small, practical way that we can all practice throughout our week to help us grow in a relationship with God.
Right. And I think that's why, I mean, we all know it's my favorite part of the episode.
We do. You've told us many times.
Yeah, and now I got a jingle for it. I do love the growing and the trying of new things. So I assume that's why I like it so much.
Well, I got a really fun one for you this week. You're going to love it.
Everyone knows John's favorite part of the podcast is anything that can be fun.
I mean, favorite part
of the podcast or favorite part in life in general.
One and only mantra is fun is one.
Which you stole from me.
Did I?
I think so. Okay. Anyway, so it's no surprise to me that you are excited about this. Keep going.
All right. It is very true. I'm excited. Okay, so this week, I think we should read the entire book, the whole book of Jonah.
What, John? Okay, the whole book? How am I supposed to do that with all of the TV and the video games and the books that I'm supposed to read and all the work that you asked me to do?
Okay.
And I'm supposed to get through a whole book in a week?
Okay, calm down. Maybe I emphasized whole too much,
yeah,
but don't get your undies in a knot. Okay. The book is only 4 chapters. You can handle it. It's a short book.
Okay.
But reading a book as a group, as a community, can be fun. So we will update you as the process goes or as the process goes. Maybe even have some questions for you on Instagram throughout the week. It'll be great.
Okay. Well, so now you want me to read a whole book and make up questions for Instagram? Man, you ask a lot.
Brayden, you are nothing but dramatic.
Well, that's true. I'm a lot of other things, but mostly dramatic. Okay, so, but I do really like this idea. I think the other thing that it really helps us understand is that each small story, like the one that we talked about today in Kings, is often connected to a larger story arc. You know, when you read through the entire book of Kings, you kind of understand a little bit more. And then it goes to something bigger and broader. And then eventually it gets connected to the biggest story, the whole story of the Bible, which is God and the relationship he has with his creation and us being that creation. I mean, it's pretty interesting and it's amazing when you start to see it from that way.
Totally agree. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Read the book of Jonah this week. Perhaps focus on the wonder of God in the story.
Yeah, I love that. You guys are amazing, and we are so grateful for the time that you choose to spend with us each and every week.
Remember, if you think others would benefit from this podcast, please share it with them. Do them a favor. Also, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a follow on Instagram at The Bible Story Pod.
Right. Remember that there is nothing more important than a growing relationship with God. Until next time, have an amazing week, especially you, Mark.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.